they look cool, huh? Well, no. What happened is I packed up my stuff, and I ended up not bringing it with me. And then, so when I came here, I looked in my closet, and I realized that I didn't actually had any proper church clothes. But brother, actually, it was Miss Kathy. She was kind enough to give me some of Brother Dan's clothes, and I appreciated that. It's pretty good, man. I got a new shirt and pants, and I'm delighted. I just don't have a black belt, so if you excuse me for that, they point that out in college. I only have like 5 shirts and 2 different colors of pants, and I have to mix them because every day I have to wear this, you know. So you can only make so many outfits out of it, and the girls would always come up to you and point it out, and like, hey, you know, that doesn't really match. And it's like, who cares, man? It's a shirt and a tie. Yeah, it's all good, but. Now, I tell you the truth, I'm pretty nervous standing up here and talking to you guys. But it's a blessing, you know, and I think it's a good thing to be nervous. It's not, when we preach this Bible, it's not just any book. You know, this is God's Word. And it's a good thing to be nervous about. It shows the power of this book. But so if you see me shaking and pausing or whatever, just pray for me, please. I appreciate it. All right, well, take your Bibles and turn to Luke, Luke chapter 10. I'm proud of these guys. Well, actually, I don't know if I say I'm proud, because pride is a sin. But I'm proud of these teenagers being up here in the front row, you know, just trying to make the teen challenge work, and I appreciate them for what they're doing. And let's say Luke chapter 10. If I can find it. Luke in chapter 10. And I'll begin reading in verse 38, the Bible says. It says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, talking about Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight, Father, and to speak to your people, Lord. And I pray that, Father, that's nothing that, Lord, that's in me, Lord, that I say, Father, but rather that it's your word that's speaking, Father. I pray that these people tonight would understand, Lord, that it's not about me, Father. If they get offended, Lord, I'd apologize for them getting offended, Lord, but I'm not apologizing for your word, Father. And I pray that your word would speak tonight in hearts, Father, that we leave here, we'd be changed, Lord, and we'd make a difference in the town of Ballincollig. Amen. You see, in this passage about Mary and Martha, we have Jesus that comes into the house, and both these women, they both receive Jesus into their home. And we see Martha. Suddenly, you know, she's all worried about serving, getting stuff ready for Jesus. And I mean, it's a good thing. You know, we get opportunities here in church as well and all around to serve. And we ought to be like Martha, wanting to serve. But the Bible says, it says that in verse 32, it says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. You see, Mary, at the start of this passage, we see she sat at Jesus' feet, the Bible says. She sat there and she spent time with Jesus. And tonight, I just want to share with you the priority over the ministry. Before you can do anything great for God, you first got to give yourself. There's a story, I don't know how many of you have heard it before, but it's about a little boy that's in church. And he's sitting, and I think he was paralyzed in his arms, and he was just sitting there. And they were taking up the offering, and as the usher came by with the offer plate, he came to the boy, and the usher was kind of, he was a little bit, I guess he didn't know what to do. He realized that the kid was paralyzed, you know, and he was going to pass by the kid, and he looked at him, And the boy looked like he wanted to give, put something in the offering plate, but he couldn't use his arms or anything. And he looked at the usher and he said, could you hold it a little bit lower, please, sir? And, you know, the usher kind of felt a little embarrassed, I guess. I would too, you know, but he held the plate out. And the boy said, could you hold it just a little bit lower, sir? And the usher's kind of, you know, he felt embarrassed and he didn't want to make a big scene out of it. And he just held it low, and the boy said, a little bit lower, please, sir. And he kind of got frustrated about it, and he just put it down on the floor. And as soon as he put it on the floor, the boy put his feet inside the offering plate. You know, what a great picture about this kid, you know, just giving himself to the Lord. You know, the first thing you got to give, obviously, is yourself. And you've heard it said many times, you know, pastors would preach on having true joy, you know, and just the latest for Jesus first, then others, then yourself. It's the most important thing is to give yourself. You know, make it your number one priority to give yourself to God. They tell us in school, they always, Dr. R is one of my teachers, he'd always say, you know, what you do with your Bible in private will determine what God will do with you in public. You know, this is a living book like none other. It's the only one that can change your life. And what you're going to do with this book in private will determine what God will do with you in public. You see, Jesus, even when he came down to earth as a servant, you know, he came and he gave us an example as well. He showed us how to serve. But even Jesus had to spend time with God alone before he got out with his people. The Bible says that he met with God before before he spoke to his people. But even Jesus, when he set the example, he had to do that. I think of David, you know, after all the different, committing adultery, you know, committing murder, after all these things that he has done, the Bible still says that David was a man after God's heart. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to understand that, because, I haven't committed the murder, you know, I mean, so I'm thinking about how can David still be a man after God's heart? I tell you, David was a man after God's heart because God was his first thought, not his last resort. You see, the first thing, the first thing he always did is he went to God. He says, God, against thee only have I sinned. You know, he always took his trouble to the Lord, and that's why the Bible says that he was a man after God's heart. You know, and I wonder what do you do today? You know, do you use God as your last resort, the spare wheel in the car? You know, you drive along a road, you know, and you don't ever use your spare wheel, right? Until that day when, you know, that's the last thing, you know, you're flat, now you got to use it. Well, fair enough. Well, I'm just thinking, now, are you using God as well as a spare wheel and not putting him first, you know? Are you, you're not making the priority to spend time with God first? And I think about Mary here. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It says that she sat at the feet of Jesus, you know, and both of them, Mary and Martha, both of them received Jesus into their house, you know, but Mary was the one that sat down and she got her priorities right. The first thing she did, she sat down and she listened to Jesus and she spent time with Jesus. And then later we see Martha just headed off and started serving, you know, which is important too. But it's really important to get the priorities right. Anyway, Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor said, "God never works in a man until he has worked through a man." See, before you can serve, you need to have a real relationship with God. You need to get up in the morning and spend time with God. So they always tell us in Bible college too. I love it out there because you know it's a great Christian environment, and the people are always helping each other, always encouraging each other. And what my room leader did is we started off. He started an accountability sheet where we'd get up in the morning and he'd just sign up or sign off, you know, did you read your Bible, did you pray? And really, it's if you do it, yeah, it's good for you. If you don't, one of my roommates, doesn't matter if I say his name, you won't know him anyway, but I looked at the list, you know, and he hasn't filled any of those in. Well, I'm not saying he didn't read his Bible or he didn't do anything, but, you know, he didn't put the accountability sheet up there, but that has helped me. And just, I'm thankful for that environment that I'm in. That you know, that there's people that were accountable to help me, but anyway, one of the things they say that don't put off today what you can do tomorrow, and they say that which gets scheduled gets done. And you look at David, we said the reason why David was called a man after God's heart was because God was his first thought. We read in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm 63 with me. I promise I won't keep you very long tonight. I'm not normally a man of a lot of words, I say. I always get up, say my thing, and get done. So I promise I won't be very long tonight. But in Psalm 63, Psalm 63 and verse 1, it says, "O God, thou art my God, and early will I seek thee." You see, David got up early in the morning seeking the Lord. That was his first priority, the first thing he did. Always he got up. In Psalms 5 and verse 3, he says, "My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." In Psalms 88 and verse 13, the Bible says, But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall I, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee." You see, you got to set a time. You got to set a time aside for God. That which gets scheduled gets done. I'm not saying it has to be in the morning. When I first moved out to Bible college, when I first got there, it was kind of hard for me. You know, we get up really early in the morning. We get up. Our classes would start. Man, I haven't been there so long, can't remember. 7:30, was it? Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, well, 7:30 is when classes would start, and breakfast started at 6. You know, so you had to be up at 6 o'clock and get to breakfast and have your devotions read. And I wasn't used to that schedule. I'd be busy until night, until about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock I was working. So it was kind of hard to fit that in the morning time. So I'm not saying you have to do that in the morning. But later on, as my friends helped me, you know, I was able to set a time, schedule a time, and just get that time in with the Lord. My point to you tonight is to set a time. I don't care what time you take. You know, you might be in the morning. Some people is morning people. Some people aren't. You know, just set a time aside. That which gets scheduled gets done. Also, get a place. Bible says, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. I like reading it from the Bible. No, I know it says in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 6, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Now I know that that talks about not making a big show out of everything, but at the same time, have a place that you go into. You know, when you pray, it says, "Pray, go into thy closet." You know, set a place. Set a time and set a place. You know, if you don't have a place and you don't have a time, you'll have no relationship with God. Because trust me, Satan will try and fill that space, that time space you have. You know, if you don't schedule it, it won't get done. You'll never do something in the outer man until you can first do it in the inner man. So I see there's a priority over the ministry. The priority is that you have a relationship with the Lord. But tonight, these are our core group Christians that are here, really. And the problem is not that you don't have a relationship with God. I don't. There's no doubt that there's some of you that are not saved and that needs to get a relationship. But my concern tonight is not that you're not doing that. But rather, Christians today have been convicted of a really bad crime. You know, something that bothers me. And I'm going to bring your attention tonight to a crime called robbing God. Stealing from God. I mean, how you can say to me, "Nick, how is this possible? I mean, the God that created this earth, the God that created us, you know, how can you rob him? You can't even see him. You know, how can you steal from him?" Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians chapter 7 in verse 20, Bible says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Then it says in verse 22, ye are bought with a price. You see, when Christ died on the cross for you, he paid for your body. He paid for your soul to go to heaven. Christ bought you. Also, look in chapter 6 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, Christian, if you're a Christian today, if you got saved and you're going to heaven, and you're a Christian, then you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. It would only be right for me to say that when you do something that's not glorifying God, you're robbing God. You're stealing from God. And what a convicting thought that is, thinking about Christians all over this world that should be serving, you know, that should follow the example of God, of Jesus, and that should be serving, that's not. They're serving man, not God. They're robbing God. Let me tell you, Christian, I hope that you're not in that position where you're robbing God. And if you are, I would tell you to get right, you know. I mean, what a thing to think that you're stealing from God Almighty. That whole thought just scares me. You know, it's kind of like the army. When you join the army, you go as a volunteer. You know, you join the army, you're in it, and you go to another country. As soon as you get in the army, you don't belong to yourself anymore. Now you belong to them. And when they send you down to Iraq or wherever they send you, you know, you're fighting for your country. You're not fighting for yourself anymore. It's not about you. Now it becomes about your country. Now, that's the same as when the day when you got saved, you see, now you belong to God. You're fighting God's army. And you're fighting for the Lord. You belong to Him. You are His property. Look with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In verse 1 it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, that's basic Christianity right there. You know, you stay holy, you stay right. You know, you get right. You present your body as a living sacrifice, giving while still alive. You know, a living sacrifice. Well, that's only basic Christianity, if I can call it that. You know, you come to church, you get up in the morning, you read your Bible, you pray. Then you come to church and, yeah, maybe you put on your nice face, you know, and pretend like you're helping around. But that's the basics. You see, that still doesn't, you know, it doesn't profit you anything but just basic Christianity, basically. You know, and I mean, we've all been there. We all do it. I've done it many times. See, but when you take care of the root, God is the one that will take care of the fruit. Get up in the morning, spend time with God, or at night, or whenever you do it, just do it. You know, get your relationship and your priority right, and you get the root right, and God will get the fruit right. You see, Mary and Martha, both of them received Jesus into the home, but Mary is the one that sat down and first spent time with Jesus before anything else. You see, Mary, don't try and do anything for God. Try and do it with God. You see, Martha, she thought, you know, she was helping God out. She, you know, she's doing all these things, serving the people, and she's really worried about her sister. You know, why, Lord, why I'm the one that's doing all this? But in the end, you look at it, it's all about herself, really. You know, it's all about herself. I think about myself many times. I come to church and I'd help out here, you know, and I think, hey, you know, I'm the only one that's doing something. Not that I do much, I know, but at the same time, you know, it's not about me. It's about Him. Amen. When you got saved, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You now belong to the Lord. And your purpose is to glorify God in whatever you do. You see, so get your priorities right. Secondly, start serving. Wherever you're at, just start serving. It's such a great thing when I first, this year. Well, let me tell you first, when I first went back to the States, they put me in a ministry. Now, in the Bible college, you're required to have a ministry that you do over the weekend. And the first ministry they put me in was working on bus routes. And I've probably told many of you the stories before. But we'd go around neighborhoods, and in the States, there's a lot of people that are bad in, as far as going into drugs and dealing with smoking all kinds of stuff. And the parents would be in that situation where they're drunk, they don't have any money. And we'd come around with the bus and we'd pick the kids up and we'd bring them to church and we'd play games to them and just being a help to them. Well, in South Africa, we kind of grew up. There's a lot of racism thing going on there. So first of all, when I moved over to the States, I had to adjust to all that. And it was a hard thing for me at first, you know, because now they put me on this bus and they expect this from me. And I'm like, well, I'm not one of you. You know, I'm not the same as one of you because, like, I'm a Christian now and you know, I'm not associated with you guys. Well, that's what I thought because it was about me. But God changed all of that. And just being able to see these people on the buses, you know, kids getting saved and then coming to Sunday school, and Brother Dan and Miss Kathy know all about it. They've been doing it for so many years. You know, it's just a great thing to be able to do that and being able to be used of the Lord. After all, when you get saved, you do belong to Jesus. And, you know, you're one of His equipment, one of His tools, and He uses you. And it's just a great thing to be able to look back on that and see God provide the fruit and see what's happening. But anyway, let me tell you, to start serving. Hey, you see the need, you take the lead. That's one of the things they always encourage us at the college. I mean, you come in here in the service, you know, and there's a little kid there, and he was eating a scone, and he dropped it, you know, and half of it's on the floor. And sure, he doesn't care. He just keeps on walking. Hey, you come along and you pick it up. You know, you pick that half is going up and throw it away or eat it, do whatever you want with it, you know. But pick it up. Don't just leave it. Hey, you see the need? I tell you, take the lead. You know, be a servant. That's what Jesus did. You know, that's what we ought to do. And when I look at Mary and Martha, I see Martha as a Sunday servant. You know, she's all, Jesus arrives and she's all worried about all this stuff. You know, I got to get all this stuff ready and I got to get it all going. And I wondered, you know, later on what happens, you know, when Jesus leaves, you know, and she's probably all upset with her sister too, you know. It's like, why? You know, why does she leave, not help me out or whatever? But anyway, I forgot to write the reference down. I think it's 2 Kings in chapter 4. Turn with me, 2 Kings chapter 4. We're not going to skip it. I'm going to find it because I know the Lord had it there for a reason when I was preparing for this message, and I'm not going to skip it. Let me tell you, you know, if I say something tonight that offends you, you know, I really, my plan is not to come out here and to think it's all about me, you know, and tell you what. I'm just telling you what God says in His book. You know, if God offends you, then deal with Him. You know, but don't take it as coming from me. I'm just telling you straight from what the Bible says, and it's right. Yes, it's 2 Kings in chapter 4. I'll start reading in verse 8. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither, And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into a chamber and lay there. You see, here we have another woman that just being a servant, just serving where she was. I see her, she served purposely. This woman, she had a purpose for what she was doing. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian here and you're in the church, you know, and you want to be served, you want to be used to God, I can only imagine it being a desire of any Christian. Why would you not? Why would you call yourself a Christian and not want to serve God? If you really understood what salvation was all about, everything that God has done for you, how can you not want to do that? You know, well, this woman, she served purposely. She had the right priority. I believe the first thing she did, she had her connection right with God. She spent time with Him in prayer, in Bible study. She knew what had to be done. She had a relationship with Him, and she was committed to serve. You know, she'd go to her husband, and she's like, hey, you know, can we not just make a little place for him? And I mean, that's a picture of a godly home, you know. The woman asking her husband, you know, for this, and then preparing it, and him helping her out. But let me say this: she served purposely. Also, she served passionately. She had a desire for the things of God. When she saw the man of God come by, and she saw the need, she took the lead. Really, is what it's all about, you know. She saw the man of God came by, and let me ask you: what is your desire? You know, do you have a desire to serve God? If you're not, I'd be worried if I was you. Not only did she serve purposely, she served passionately. And lastly, she served practically. Practically, I guess is how you'd say it. She just did the obvious thing. Practical thing, she saw the guy came by. He had a need. And they took care of it. They provided food. They just did the little things. You know, the Bible says in Luke 16, sure, turn with me, Luke 16 in verse 10. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 in verse 10, the Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If I think about this lady in 2 Kings, you know, how she took care of the little things, took care of the man of God. Who knows what happens along the way if you were just to take care of the little things in church. Hey, I thought about it this morning. I saw we had some visitors out, and I was standing in the back. And I believe his name was Marlin. Marlin, yeah. And they came in, and church was a little bit full this morning. And praise the Lord, that's good, man. It ought to be twice that full, you know. But I stood in the back, and I was just helping out, putting out some chairs. And his family came in, and they were looking at the back, and they were standing and looking for chairs. And I put down the chairs, you know, and I told them, hey, you guys can sit here. And he said, it's all right, you know, he'll just stand and wait and see where everyone sits and find a seat. But so many people, even in the college at Lancaster Baptist Church, there would be a car that pulls on campus. He looks around, he sees, hey, there's no parking spots. The campus is pretty big. It's about 3,000 people there on a Sunday service. And he'd look around and say, hey, there's no parking spot. There's no place for me around here. They'll take off. I don't want anyone to miss hearing the gospel just because they didn't have a seat in church. You know, this morning I helped them find a seat. But next Sunday I'm going to make sure that I have, I don't know, maybe an extra row. You never know who might show up. But I don't want that Christian to turn around and walk out and never come to church again because when he was there, he saw, hey, there was no seat for me. I don't want to get embarrassed. You know, what's this all about? I'm going home. I don't want that ever to happen. I'll make sure there's a seat next time. I'll put in an extra row, Pastor. If it's possible for me to be early, I'll put in an extra row. I'm going to make sure that there's a seat for that Christian. Just be faithful in the little things. You know, God will later on provide. Hey, if someone gets saved just because there was a seat for them in church, praise the Lord, man. That's what it's all about. So do the little things. You know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. We all know that song. that's not how it goes, right? I'm not going to sing it. Never mind. But yeah. That's the little things. That's basic Christianity. You get up in the morning, you read your Bible, you pray, you go to church, you go soul winning, and you're nice to people. I added that one. But then you'll grow. You know, you take care of those little things. God will provide the bigger things in the end. You know, serving the little things. You know, if you see the need, you see that kid that spilled his scones or whatever. Hey, you go pick it up. It's all right. You won't die. I mean, it's not going to hurt you to bend down and pick up it unless you have a bad back. But, you know, call me, I'll do it, all right? But, hey, you just do that little thing, all right? You do the little thing, God will take care of the better thing, of the bigger things, you know. Just be a volunteer. I think, you know, they're looking for people in the choir. You know, is there anyone that'll help us sing in the choir? Hey, volunteer. That's what it's all about. I mean, sure, if I can do it, you can do it. I mean, there's this need everywhere, really. There's always going to be a need. And I think, man, the Sunday school ministry, they're looking for teachers. Just volunteer. Hey, I'm not a good preacher, really. I'm not. I'll tell you, when I went to, we have a class called homiletics. Oh, my word. I love preaching. It's great. I love it. As long as I'm not the one doing it. It's awesome as long as I'm not the one doing it. Well, in this class, you're required to preach 3 sermons, and it's 3 months, so it's one every month. I'm like, Lord, I'm not a preacher. You know, how can I preach? You know, all these guys are in this college; they're all studying to be preachers. I'm not. You know, and how can I do that? And I remember when I got up there, every time my teacher is very gracious, he'd hear me out for 10 minutes, and then he'd say, all right, well, you know, that was a good illustration. Pretty much that was good illustration, you know. And he'd be like, well, you know, yeah, I mean, you don't talk loud enough, man. You're wearing a brown belt, you know. What's wrong with you? You know, get yourself right. You know, really, I'm not a great preacher. I'm not, and I know that. But I believe that this is a great message, you know, and it's straight from God's word. And, man, time after time, it was my biggest fear in Bible college, was having to preach. Having to stand up before people, you know, and preach the word. I don't know why. I don't know why it's so hard for me, but it is. But hey, pastor comes up to me. It's like, hey, you're preaching tonight, right? I'm preaching. Well, good thing you didn't say that to me today, because I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd have a message ready. But hey, he asked me to, and that's what I'm gonna do. That's what ministry is all about. Whether I can do it or not, I don't think I can. But I know I can't do anything unless it's through God. You know, it's Him that's doing it through me. So when I'm standing here and I'm speaking to you guys, it's all God. It's not me. Because this is not me. But anyway, you see a need, you take a lead. You know, you be the volunteer and in the church. So for sake of time. So first of all, I see that there's a priority over the ministry. The priority is that you get your relationship right with God. You know, if you're struggling, you're struggling with serving in the church, it's probably because of sin or your relationship. It's those two things. So let me tell you, get your relationship right with God. You know, or we call it a walk with God. I love Enoch in the Bible because it said, you know, he walked with God, and then it was not, for God took him. I mean, what a thing to have that relationship with the Lord where, I mean, you're right on, and you've got a straight connection, clear connection to heaven, and God took him. You know, what a thing. But, you know, if you don't have a walk, let me tell you, start. Set a time, set a place. You won't regret it. You know, secondly, be a servant. You see the need, you take the lead. Don't be the one accused of robbing God. If you're not a Christian, it's fine. You know, if you're not a Christian, you're not robbing God. But if you are His property. When you're not doing what He wants you to be doing, you're stealing from Him. Don't be the one that's accused of robbing God. Also, serve purposely. Serve to glorify God. And whatever you do, whatever you pick up and do, do it with all your might. You know, do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it as unto anyone else. Don't pick up that scone. I'm a chances. Don't pick up the cup of tea or whatever just because you want people to see you. No. Do it because you're doing it unto the Lord. This is your place. You know, this is your home. If someone walks in here and they mess this stuff up, you know, you ought to be the one that fixes it back up again. You know, you shouldn't just walk away and no problem. No, you know, this is your place. You got to keep this place right. And so serve purposely, also serve passionately. You know, do you have a desire to serve? If you don't have a desire, I'd be worried. You got to go back to step one, start your relationship. And also serve practically. You know, just do the little things. Just be faithful in little things, and God will provide the bigger things. They tell us, you know, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good becomes better and your better becomes best. I know that's a whole mouthful, right? But I'm serious, you know, and I know I haven't preached a long message at all, and but really, I believe with all my heart that's what the Lord wants you to hear. And I'll close this in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight, Lord. And Father, you've been so good to us, Lord. And Lord, this is your family, Lord. This is we are your property, Lord. And Father, I thank you for dying on the cross, Lord, and saving my soul, Father. Just working in my life, Lord. I thank you for dying for the world, Father, and the ones that have accepted you, Lord. I pray that you, Lord, that you be with us, Lord, that you give us the strength, Father, to go and serve, Father, to be able to make a difference in Ballincollig, Lord. Father, it scares me sometimes when I think about it, Lord, and I thought about how selfish I would get, Lord, just trying to do stuff in my own power, Lord. And Father, I know it's not about me, Lord, it's all about you, Lord. And Father, I pray that as we leave this place tonight, Lord, that the seed was planted, Lord, and that you'd work on it, Father, that you'd work in our hearts, Lord, that you'd help us to grow, Lord, to be stronger in you, Father. If anything, Father, I pray that, Lord, if anyone wasn't not saved tonight, Lord, I pray that they'd get that right, Father, that they would start that relationship, Lord, that they would grow, Lord, and just become a Christian that would make a difference for you, Lord. Someone that's different, Father, that we can tell apart from this world, Lord. Father, I pray that you be with us now for the rest of the night, Lord. Just bless the rest of the night, Father, and just go with us as we leave here. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.